until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Written by Stuart Hamlin, saved under Billy Graham in the Los Angeles Crusade. That song, and it's on my grandmother's grave. Until then is on her grave. Gram Mabel, she led me to the Lord June 16, Friday, 1967. And she's now in heaven. She was a Baptist secretary at the time of a pastor. And I was staying with her for a summer. And without even realizing it, she led me to faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That was on her grave. Until then. All right. And it fits with what we've been studying. So turn back to the Revelation. We're in the Revelation. And you got your lesson today. And I met with Lisa yesterday. And Lisa got all of her homework done. What was the homework? To finish last week's lesson. Now, she cheated a little bit. She asked for pastor's help. But anyway, we got that done. So Lisa's smart. She's not afraid of the preacher. He doesn't bite. She's found that out. Amen. And but anyway, we encourage you to listen and take your notes. And then what we don't finish in class, guess what? You can take it with you and go to the Revelation, John, and study it. Amen? So Revelation chapter 21, this is lesson 3 on this one chapter. Now, in this third lesson on chapter 21, we're going to continue to walk through what we call the forest. Now, we did a flyover in chapter 20, and we looked at a whole block of time. That time is called the dispensation of the fullness of times. Ephesians 1, I believe that's verse 9 or 10 there. The dispensation of the fullness of times. But what period of time is that is in chapter 20 that we looked at as a whole, but in 21 and 22, we're walking through it. Remember, there are 7 dispensations that we've looked at, and the last dispensation is the one that we're looking at. When we look at that, what is that in chapter 20? We flew over, now we're studying it in detail in chapter 21, 22. Yes, Karen?
The millennial kingdom.
That is the last dispensation. Dispensation is an administration, like we have a different Biden administration, which he's not even a president. But anyway, he's an imposter. But anyway, we have presidential administration. We have the Trump administration and so forth and so on. And so this is an administration of God's kingdom program. The theme of the Bible is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Satan stole it from Adam. He was the first king. Jesus is restoring it. So the kingdom was lost in Genesis, recovered and restored in the book of Revelation. That's the theme of the Bible. You have the dispensation of innocence, that's before the fall. A conscience, that's after the fall, before they had a Bible. They had their conscience. The human government was after the flood. God instituted human government. Then the patriarchal promise, that was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God founded that nation in Genesis through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by promise. Then came the law upon that nation. They failed under the law. Then the church. We're in the church now, where God is taking Jew and Gentile, putting them in a new body called the church, the body of Christ. He's building churches now. And this is a dispensation when the gospel, the grace of God, is going out to the whole world. And that's where we are right now. Then we're going to come into a transitional period called the Day of the Lord during the 70th week of Daniel, when God pours out his wrath on this world and on Satan's kingdom and gets it back for himself. He's going to do that at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so that will effectively, the church will be raptured just before the wrath of God. That will effectively end that dispensation. And after the wrath of God, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, God's going to set up his kingdom and rule over the earth. And that's what we're studying. You say, could that happen in my lifetime? Yes, it could. It depends on how quickly these prophecies that I'm preaching on now, between now and the 70th week, come to pass. I don't know. But I know the prophecy, Psalm 83, Jeremiah 49, Isaiah 17, 1 through 9, and other prophecies that may be even going on right now in the Middle East that I've been preaching on. Very well could be. But I don't know how long it will be after the Psalm 83, before the Ezekiel 38 and 39. I don't know. And I don't know how long after that, before the covenant. But it could, if it happens one right after the other, could happen in your lifetime. But if God delays it, it could happen in your kid's lifetime or grandkid. I don't know. I don't have the time. But I do know what's going to happen. And I know how to watch for it to happen, and I'll know when it happens. I believe it because I know prophecy. I know what's going on. I can tell you what's going on because I've studied this for over 50 years. And I've studied it, man. Really studied it. I'm into it because I'm into the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm living for. And Paul was too. He loved his appearing. And do you love it? And so that's what this is all about. And this is what we are studying and what we're looking at. Now, we said that we're reminded in Revelation 21, verse 1, John wrote, and I've already gone over this, but take your Bible, go to Revelation 21, and this is a review. Verse 1, John said, and there was no more sea. When will there be no more sea? During the millennium, during this thousand-year reign of Christ over the earth. And by the way, the curse will be removed from the earth in that the animals won't kill one another, in that weeds won't be growing up like it was before, in that the climate will no longer be harsh. It will be a beautiful, warm climate all over the world, like a greenhouse effect. Everything will be glorious, and there will be death on earth. That's the one thing that will still be there until the end of the thousand years. Then at the end of the thousand years, certain things are going to end. Death is one of them. Amen. There'll be no more death at all. So we looked at some of that kind of stuff, but that is all coming up. And we looked at it. But since there'll be no more sea, what does that mean, no more sea? And if you get a Webster's 1828 dictionary, you would understand. The reason I ask that is because the Bible is very clear. During the millennium, there will be a dead sea which will come alive because a river will flow out of the temple, which is going to be on elevated Mount Zion and flow to the east. I was there. I saw all this stuff. And the river is going to flow right down into the Dead Sea, and it's going to come alive with fish and life. And there will be seas. No doubt there'll be the Sea of Galilee that I swam in, that I rode a boat over, that I ate fish out of it. You could have fish with eyes or without of eyes when you ate them. But anyway, I ate fish out of the sea. But anyway, there will be seas. So when it says no more sea, what does that mean? Quickly. Yep.
No more large bodies of water.
No more large oceans. The Atlantic, the Pacific, the Mediterranean. There will not be. That takes up most of the land area of the earth. The earth will be mostly land area, small, and the seas will be fresh water, not the salt water. Why do we have the big oceans? That's what's left of the flood. That's where the water is from the Genesis flood, the universal flood. It's still here as a reminder. But during the day of the Lord, those bodies of water are going to migrate up around the earth to form a canopy like it was before the great flood in Noah's day. Yes, ma'am.
Where the seas are now, these large, the oceans,
yeah.
What will be there?
Land. Beautiful land.
So will you be able to walk from, say, South America to Africa?
Yes, the land area of the earth will be greatly expanded. You could walk all over. Yeah, they're all over the world. It'll be a lot bigger, and it will be beautiful, fertile land. I mean, glory. Remember, the harsh, big mountains like Mount Everest are no longer going to be this size of the mountain. They're not going to be huge mountain like in the Himalayas. That was caused by the flood when the earth split and the waters came up from the under the earth, and then after the flood they went down into the oceans and these big huge mountains were created. When the Lord comes back, he's going to reduce those down to rolling hills. And Zion in Jerusalem would be the highest of those hills. But it won't be like these harsh mountains. And the earth will be beautiful. Yep, Patty?
I was just going to say to Cynthia, why walk when we can fly?
Why what?
Why walk when we can fly? Don't we be able to fly?
Why walk when we can fly? Well, now you have to... You have to realize that Cynthia may be referring to people living on earth in unglorified bodies. And they don't fly.
Can we fly?
We fly. You and I, we fly. And maybe even Cynthia. But yeah, you walk in unglorified bodies on the earth, because people will survive the day of the Lord, and they will go into the thousand-year reign of Christ. Let's say it happens in my lifetime still. I'm not saying it's going to, but let's say it did. I plan to live to be 120, to be here. But I pray that I can be here. But anyway, let's say it happens in my lifetime. And there are people now that survive and go through all of the 70th week and the day of the Lord, and they come out the other end alive. Well, then they're going into that millennial kingdom. They're going into that millennial reign of Christ as Gentiles and as Jews. There'll be two, the Gentile nations and the Jews. So, yeah, they'll walk around. That is what is going on there. And it's going to be glorious. The lamb will lie down with a lion. A child will be able to play with a cobra. There'll be no fear of that. If somebody dies, they'll die at 100 years of age. That's considered a baby dying. That they're like a baby. It's going to be great. So we looked at all of that. And we'll just move on from there. Any question about that? We're going to move right on to the lesson. All right, let's go to the lesson now for today. The lesson today is in Revelation 21. If you'll turn there and go to verse number 9. Revelation and 21 and verse number 9. And I finally have the mic on and they didn't put the camera up. Anyway, Revelation 21, nothing beats just being here, amen? Just be here. All right, verse 9, it says that there came into one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me. Now, who is the angel talking to? This is one of the angels that had one of the seven bowl judgments that were poured out after the end of the 70th week to reclaim the earth when Christ touched down on the earth and took it back. And this angel's now talking with somebody. Who is he talking to? Diane?
John.
He's talking to the Apostle John. Because remember, this revelation is an uncovering of the glory of Jesus in the second coming. Not the first coming, but the second coming. And so this angel that poured out part of the wrath of God, he's talking with John. This revelation came from God the Father, and according to chapter 1, it went to God the Son, and then it went from God the Son to who? An angel, right, Diane? And then it went from the angel to who? To the Apostle John. It went from the Apostle John to whom? I should say to whom, not to who. To whom?
Churches.
To us, the churches. Correct. To us, churches. By the way, God expects you to be in a church. If you're saved, you need to get baptized and get in a church. I always say get in or get out, get on or get off, right? So get in and be part of it. You say, I can't find a perfect church. Well, I can't find a perfect person either. So if you can't find a perfect church, can't find a perfect pastor, neither can we find a perfect person. But God wants us in churches. Then some people say, well, the last days, God's done with the churches. No, they're still here in Revelation. God's not done with the church. He's still working with the church. And they're imperfect, but he's working with them. Amen. So get in one. Get in one. Be part of it. And be here. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. Be here. Now, that's what God wants. I'm telling you God's will for your life. If you're a born-again Christian, you should get baptized, join the church. If you're not a born-again Christian, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're going to die and go to hell, or you're going to take the mark of the beast if you're here when the 7 years starts, and the middle of the 7 years when the tribulation starts, you're going to take the mark. All right, so we're going now to chapter 21, verse 9. We just read it, and we talked about a more detailed description of this heavenly city. So look at 21:9. Let's finish that. It says, one of the seven angels gave it to John, and had the seven plagues talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. All right? I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. All right. So he's going to show John the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, we just talked about people in unglorified bodies. Where is the bride, the Lamb's wife, before the millennium begins? Just before it begins. Where is the bride, the Lamb's wife? Yes.
In heaven.
And in what part of heaven is that?
The New Jerusalem.
You have to remember, heaven is bigger than the New Jerusalem. It's the third heaven. There's atmosphere, outer space, and then the third heaven, that's where the New Jerusalem is right now. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a mansion for you. That's one and the same. I go to prepare a city for you. That's all one and the same. A mansion, a city, and a place. That's the New Jerusalem. It's in the third heaven. It has a location. It has a street, one street. It's made of pure gold. It winds through the whole city on every level. It is a huge cube, 1,380 miles stretching from New York City to Denver, Colorado, or New York City, West Palm Beach, Florida, in every direction. It's like a giant cube. And if you divide that up into different levels, it would give enough for every saved person to have 75 square acres of land to live. Because though the whole city is a mansion, within that city, there are going to be individual habitations or houses, and that's mentioned in Luke chapter 16 by our Lord, that will have everlasting houses in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a place prepared for the whole Lamb's wife. Who's the Lamb's wife? The whole church. Everybody saved from Adam all the way up to the last person saved before the rapture is part of the church of the firstborn. Everyone. And everyone will be together in that place with glorified bodies. And John is being told now by this angel that helped to pour out the wrath of God, hey, I want to show you the Lamb's wife. Isn't that an interesting name? The Lamb's wife. Kyle made lamb and gave it to my wife. She ate it. She wanted me to eat a little piece of it. I don't usually eat stuff like that, but I ate a little piece of it. And that's what they eat in the Passover lamb. And this is the Lamb's wife. We're feeding on the Lamb, Jesus Christ, right now. Amen? You should be feeding on Jesus. He's the best meal you got going for you in this world. Whether you eat lamb or whether you eat fish or whether you eat whatever. He's the best meal we got going for us. Brother Eddie and I had a great meal yesterday. Brother Eddie paid. That made it even greater, man. He's a generous man. But that meal is something we have, but it's nothing like feeding on Jesus. We together are feeding on the Lamb, right? And we're the Lamb's wife. That's who it's talking about. And so that's what he's saying here in verse 9. That's in the blank. Lamb's wife. The home of the bride of Christ, I guess is what you fill in there, right? Bride of Christ. All right, look at number 2. The angel that came to John in verses 9 and 10 was one of the angels that poured out, it said, the seven vials or bowls of final wrath. But this time he has something wonderful to show John. He takes him up to a great high mountain. That mountain is likely the top of elevated Mount Zion, where will be the millennial temple. Also, the heavenly city that is at this time descending will stand just above and around the summit of Mount Zion. Z-I-O-N. So let's look at verse 10 now. It says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So it seems like John is on earth. And just like he was transported in time in chapter 1 to the day of the Lord, here he's being transported geographically to a great and high mountain. Sometimes I'll ask people geographical questions because I like geography, and they have no clue. Some people aren't good at geography. I don't know where this mountain was, but I think it's probably Mount Zion on earth, because that's the highest mountain at that time. And so John's on top of that high hill, and he is looking now up toward heaven, and he's seeing this beautiful city descend out of heaven. And in verse 10, it's talking about that descending out of heaven. It says, from God, and that's what he is seeing coming down. And so he's being told. Now, remember when the devil took Jesus and put him on a high mountain? And what did the devil show Jesus? He's an angel, by the way, a fallen angel. What did he show Jesus when Jesus was here? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He showed him China and the great Chinese kingdom. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, Rome and all the vast glory of Rome. And he showed him these various kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will make you to rule over all these kingdoms. You'll be numero uno. Does the devil have that power? Yes. He's been delegated that power since Adam fell as the king of the world. And so he is now the small g god of this world. He shouldn't be ruling the world. He's an angel. But he is, because man sinned and he got man to sin. And so he's the highest of the fallen angels. So he's ruling this world. And he offered it to Jesus. He could offer it to him. Jesus refused it. Why? Because he was looking at this new world to come. He was looking at this new dispensation to come. And he knew this would be the great. He knew all the kingdoms of the world. And all the kingdoms of the world through time, the Bible speaks of them. There are going to be seven great kingdoms through time. And then the eighth one will be the one that I believe Adolf Hitler's coming back from the dead to rule over. You're not done with Hitler. Have you noticed the anti-Semitism? The world is getting ready for Hitler. What's going on? Hamas and what's going on in the Middle East? These people they got the spirit of Adolf Hitler because they hate the Jews. See, this thing is the devil. The devil hates the Jews. You know why he hates the Jews? Because he knows when the Jews get saved, the millennium's coming. He doesn't want it coming. He wants his world kingdoms. He offered it to Jesus. Jesus said, no deal, not taking it. I'm not taking your offer. And don't take things Satan gives you. He will offer you things. Don't take it. So Egypt was one, and all these kingdoms, Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then Nazi Germany was another one. When the Jews were in diaspora, that brought them back to the land. And there's coming another one, which will be the same ruler of one of the seven, Hitler. And he will rule over, I believe, the eighth. And that will be a kingdom that will come out of the European Union. Revived Rome. The Western globalists are going to win. They're going to win in the end. And they're going to conquer the whole world. And Hitler, a European Japhetic descendant, will be the ruler under Satan. It's going to be satanic, folks. And so anyway, that was offered to Jesus. He said, no deal. And I thank God when we get saved, we're saying no deal. I'm not taking this world. I'm looking for the world to come. All right, so that's what he is showing him. And he's showing him, I believe, probably from Mount Zion. All right, it doesn't say, but anyway. Number three, can you imagine the Apostle John on top of elevated Zion, craning his neck to see this beautiful, gleaming, golden cube of a holy city coming down out of the sky over Jerusalem? It will be a cube of about, I said 1,500, but it's actually about 1,380 miles each of four ways. And that's mentioned in verse 10. Won't it be awesome to be in that city as it descends to its place just above the renovated earth? How important that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you die now before the Lord returns, where do you go? Where do you go?
Heaven,
absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul talked about going to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians, and you go straight to heaven. You don't, your body doesn't go, your soul and spirit goes. Your body goes in the ground. But that doesn't mean that your soul and spirit, you're a ghost. You're a ghost. You talk about the Holy Ghost, God's a spirit. You're a ghost once you die. Yes, ma'am, you had a question? Say that again, I didn't hear you.
I find that confused because isn't it a portal like that you're in?
A portal?
The rapture didn't come for everyone to be raised.
Yeah.
So isn't it a portal that you're in? Because when my dad died, I had a dream about him talking to me.
Yeah.
And he sounded regular.
Yeah.
He had a soft voice.
Yes.
And like when he was talking to me, he was like giving me like a warning and advice.
Yeah.
About like a food.
Yeah.
And it was really weird. Like, I don't know. He was in a space of rest.
Yeah.
And it wasn't dangerous. He didn't ask to get out.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't it a portal that
can bring
you to the rapture?
Yeah. When you die before the rapture, she's asking. What's your first name, by the way?
Amber.
Good to see you, Sister Amber. All right. Good to have you. Did you come on Brother Z's bus, Zukowski? Yeah, okay, good. Awesome. Good to have you. All right, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. So, yeah, what Amber said, when you die before the rapture, you have consciousness. You have the appearance of how you looked. You know, Samuel, when he came back after death, remember, he appeared to King Saul. Now, King Saul wasn't expecting it, but that he actually came back and he was hoping to talk to Samuel, and he actually got his wish. He got to talk to Samuel, and Samuel gave him the word. He said, this is a warning, this is what's going to happen to you. And he could recognize him. So yeah, you can recognize a person. See, your soul, when it comes out of your body, will have like probably the shape of your body. It will look like your body. It will look like you. And you go to heaven. And it will be there in heaven. And I know that a lot of people have said what it looks like, but we can only really rely on the Word of God as our sole authority for faith and practice. And what it says is that it looks like people on earth. And your soul will look like your body on earth. And it will be in heaven, all right? And it will go to heaven until the rapture. Now, at the rapture, you get your body back raised from the dead or changed if you're still alive, and it is going to be much better than the body that you have now. And it's going to look better and younger and in the prime, okay? And so That is going to happen at the rapture. And so when the bride is coming down, keep in mind all these people have either been raptured or changed already. They're already in their glorified body. Not the people on earth, but the bride's wife, the Lamb's wife that's coming down. And we are coming down. And what is the purpose of us coming down to earth? Well, we're going to come down, and this city is like a big chandelier, and it's going to be 5 times the area of the earth presently, and it will be huge, and it will come down over the top of elevated Mount Zion. On top of elevated Mount Zion is what? The temple. The temple was in heaven in New Jerusalem for years, but sometime before the millennium, the temple is not going to be in heaven, because the Bible says when it comes down, there's no temple in the city. Where's the temple going to be? On top of elevated Mount Zion. The heavenly temple will be up there. Who will be in the Holy of Holies? The Lord Jesus. He will be sitting on a throne with a crown, not a crown of thorns. He took that. When Satan offered him a big crown, he said, no, I don't want it. I'll take the crown of thorns, thank you. I'll take the rejection of this world, thank you. And now he's going to wear a crown of gold. He's going to be sitting on that crown. He's going to rule over the earth. He's bringing his bride down to do what? To be with him, obviously. He wants to be with the bride. He wants to be with his bride. But what's he bringing? To rule as his queen over the earth. And we will literally have jobs to do on the earth based on God's reward for faithfulness here. Will it be that some will sit out the millennium and sit out the eternal phase of the kingdom and just be in the New Jerusalem and sit the bench, so to speak? I believe so, yes. I believe that's what it means when it says that he brings his reward with him. So you think you're getting ahead by robbing God of tithes and offerings? You think you're getting ahead by going fishing instead of going out doing something for the Lord? You think, no, you're not. You're choosing a crown of gold now instead of a crown of thorns. And you could have the reward taken away from you in the kingdom. Yes, Ariana? Do we what?
Fire.
Ariana?
Battle with him.
Oh, that's a very good question. Very good question. I'm glad you raised that, actually. That's a very good question. She always has good questions, by the way. I'm with her in soul winning for Brother Joe's class, and she has good questions. But first of all, when he comes, you have to remember the beginning of his coming is going to be just before the day of the Lord, sometime during the second 3.5 years, and we'll be raptured up to meet the Lord and be with him in the New Jerusalem in heaven for the rest of this time of the day of the Lord. Then after the day of the Lord's done, now on the first day of the millennium, we're coming down. So the bottom line is, as Ariana just said, when he goes to battle after he's raptured us, when he goes to battle and sends his angels to battle, and then when he comes and touches down at the end of the 7 years and gets blood all over him as he's fighting from South Jordan all the way up to Zion's Hill, we're not going to be there, because you don't take your bride to war. You leave her in the honeymoon place in the New Jerusalem. So he is not going to do that. But when he's done with cleaning up the earth and getting it all ready for his bride, now he brings his bride down, and the New Jerusalem's coming down on the first day of the millennium. And there the temple of God is going to be on Mount Zion, and the holy city, the New Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, is going to hover over the top. So we'll share the temple with the people of the earth. So the people of the earth will be able to travel from all over the earth and actually go up the hill and go to the temple. And to get to the temple, though, if the holy city, the New Jerusalem, surrounds the top of the temple, there are how many gates to get into the precincts of the New Jerusalem or the base of the New Jerusalem? Sarge?
There's 12.
There's 12. They're each made of a pearl. They're open all the time, but you cannot get in there unless you are born again. And during the millennium, everybody's going to be born again at the beginning, but as it progresses, there'll be people that'll be born that won't be saved. They won't be born again. And they won't be admitted to the temple. They won't be admitted, from what I can see, to the New Jerusalem. Because at each of those 12 gates, one huge angel stands there guarding it. It's not like our southern border. It's very vetted. It's vetted. And there is a wall around the base of the New Jerusalem. And I personally believe that wall, and I can't say for sure, but it looks to me, it has foundations. And the foundations have the name of the 12 apostles in it. And I believe that wall will sit on top of Mount Zion all around it. So you can't get under the wall, you can't get over the wall, because the wall is really high. And you can only go through the doors. There's doors on every side, but the angel won't let you if you're not saved. So people on earth won't be able to get in there. Obviously, everybody in the New Jerusalem will be able to see the temple, and all the time it will be there. We'll share it with the earth. So that is the setup now on the millennium and how it's going to be. And all the people of the earth will see this beautiful city and how gorgeous it is. And hey, there'll be no need for the sun inside the city because the S-O-N is going to light it up. But there'll still be the sun on the earth. So the earth will have this holy city. For us, there's no night, but people of the earth will have night. And the earth will rotate during the millennium. They'll have all of that. But we won't. And he'll wipe away every tear, it said, from the eyes. That's not the people of the earth. They'll still be able to cry, but we won't have any tears, as I said last time. So that is the setup for us, and we won't get sick, we won't get tired, we won't need sleep. We will serve the Lord. That's why it's important right now, when you do get sick, when you do feel pain, when you do get tired, to serve the Lord, because you're laying up treasures in the heavenly kingdom to come. You see? And that's the reward. You don't get saved by doing these things, but once you're saved, they're rewards for you. So keep that in mind. And what I would like you to do now is take number 3 and 4 and finish this for your homework. And do like Lisa's doing. She's doing her homework. And work through this, and then I'll see you next time. Amen? And we'll continue. All right, let's stop right there. Great questions. Good to see you. Amen.
Stop me in the hallway.
Yep.
She was talking to me.
Yep. Hang on 1 second. Yes, Ariana.
I'm sorry. May I just get two copies of your notes there, please?
You know what? Yeah. Ask Brother Eddie. You know the guy that prayed, the big guy?
We got here late, so I'm not exactly.
Oh, okay. Where is Brother Eddie? He just disappeared on me.
Yeah, he probably went upstairs.
All right. Go to my secretary in the office area and say that you need a couple copies.
Okay.
All right, you got it. Hey. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But anyway, I stopped her in the hallway. She saw me.
Yep.
And she told me to ask you to pray for her. Because
that's Maria.
She's like going through a lot of health issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going, like she says she has cancer too.
I will definitely pray for her. Let me grab. I got you. All right, we'll pray for her. Definitely, I will do that. All right. Hey, Ryan.
You still have nails?
Huh?
You still have nails after
that? Oh, after that game. Boy, oh, boy. I didn't like that helmet. The helmet on Roman Wilson. I didn't like that.
But it was the same call as the
Michigan. I know that. But they didn't give them a penalty. They gave us a penalty, 15 yards.
I know they did.
They didn't give them the penalty. So if it was the same call, it should have been that. They didn't do it exactly the same. They favored them a little bit.
I was so nervous in that fourth quarter, like when they blew that 20-3.
Me too. Me too. Me too, because I felt the momentum slipping.
Our defense always steps up.
They stepped up and made